Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Jamie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm super excited to hear how you found me.
Well, I guess I kind of just stumbled across you. I was searching podcasts. I'm an avid podcast listener and trying to find something on organization. And there you were. And then I listened to all of them.
That probably took a while.
Yeah.
Do you remember when it was? Like how long ago that was?
It was actually the first of the year.
So the first of 2020.
Yes. Yep.
Wow. You listen to podcasts pretty fast then. That's a lot of podcasts.
I do. Yes. I have to drive a lot. So
okay.
I live in a car.
Very fun. And who lives with you in your family?
My husband and my twin daughters, Jenna and Josie.
How fun.
Oh, yes.
I always wanted to have twins.
Yeah.
I have a couple of friends who have just a single set of twins and not older or younger children. And they said, well, it's fun because like when you're in the stage, you're in the stage, but then when the stage is over, like the stage is over, like there's not like another kid coming along to go through that same stage. So you just have to enjoy it when you're there because it's going to move on and then you're on to the next thing.
That's what I say. You know, people say like they miss this stage or whatever. I'm like, nope, I'm glad we're out of that stage and I'm ready to move on.
So the twins would have been 9 when you found the podcast and you said you drive a lot and you listen to podcasts. Why were you Googling for organization? Why were you deciding to get organized?
Well, I am not, I guess I'm known for my unorganization, but just always, that's just been my downfall. I'm just not a very organized person. And I always just said, that's just going to be me. I'm just not going to be organized. That's just the way I'm going to be. And then I decided, you know what? I can do this. I can be organized. So that's whenever I just dove straight in.
Was there a reason why all of a sudden you just thought like the twins are 9, it's the beginning of 2020. You know what? I think I could be organized. Like, where did that thought come from?
Well, first of all, I guess, you know, you make your New Year's resolutions. So here I am going to be more organized and I have never done it. My girls were getting a little bit more independent. So I had a little bit more time for myself, I guess, and just decided that, you know, I wanted to do this for myself, not only at home, but also at work, because I have a very paper-driven job and I have papers everywhere. So I just decided that it was the time. And also I just felt like I needed something to get me more in focus, get me more in line. And I felt like that was it. And it's proven to be correct. So
that is awesome. Okay. So you found the podcast around January. Mm-hmm. What was your first step? Like, what did you decide to get organized first? And also because we have COVID, like how did that kind of play out with where you live in the world and your kids and everything? And did COVID impact that at all?
It did actually. So I work in a bank, so I'm an essential employee. So I still had to work through it all. However, I did work from home some. And with that, I felt even more that it was more important to be organized because not only was I going to have to be organized in my house, but I was going to have to be organized in my house for work. So, you know, putting all that together, that I definitely knew. And also, I have a huge paper problem. So my twin daughters were born premature and we have papers everywhere, insurance, hospitals, doctors. And I was losing things. I was, you know, it just wasn't working. So that's where I guess I jumped in more. The Sunday basket was very appealing to me because that was part of my issue is I was losing things a lot. So even though I knew my house needed to be organized, I felt like I had to start with my paper. So that's where I started. And I had totes and file cabinets and everything full of paper.
So how long did it take you to get through all the paper? Like, do you remember the order that you went through and like the timeline of that?
Well, I took a week off of vacation before even COVID hit. So I had a week off of my kids were still in school. So I decided just to start there. And, you know, I just took a tote at a time. And I mean, I was all in. I went all in and it was amazing because I went from, you know, I just kept finding totes under the stairs, in the closet, you know, here and there and here and there. And so I just pulled every one of them out. You just went through one tote at a time. And, you know, I condensed it down to pretty much all in one tote that I needed to sort through. So there was a lot in there. Like I said, a ton of old doctors, hospitals, you know, and that I could get rid of now. You know, you just never know for sure when you need to get rid of. And I just threw it all in totes and boxes. So, yeah.
Yeah. And if you are listening and you have kids that have any kind of a medical condition, I say keep it all, because until you know what you're getting rid of or have a way of backing it up or scanning it or whatever, I am amazed how often I would use something from when my kids were 4 or 5 to substantiate something I needed in school when they were in high school. Or you'd meet a new doctor and they would say, did you ever have this test done? Or what was this experience? I would go back to notes that I'd written in calendars years prior. Like, little kids, often the diagnosis will change even though the symptoms are the same. Like, what they call something at 2 and 6 and 8 and 12 and 14 with the same symptoms is a different diagnosis. And once you change the diagnosis name, then you start looking for everything else related to that diagnosis in reverse. And if you have any kinds of, like, I used to just jot down notes when I was in the doctor's offices and I just kept it. Like, I just kept it in a drawer. And eventually I went back and I put that all in a binder. And to be honest, I didn't retype it. It's in sheets, just those same scribbled notes in order. So I can like flip through and just read them. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. But it is amazing to me that until your children are really 25 and, you know, they have all the services that they're going to qualify for, they've been through all of their schooling, they've been through their educational and vocational. There's a lot of help for kids when they are 18, 19, 20, 21. They can get into vocational programs that are based on things that happened when they were 2 and 3 years old. Like, keep it all is what I've always said, until you have the time to sit down and really go through it, because otherwise you'll be like, I know we had that, but you can't recreate it.
Well, and that's part of my issue is, well, first of all, you know, I wish I would have known back 10 years ago when my girls were in the NICU, because they were in the NICU for 6 months. I wish I would have known that because, you know, you're so overwhelmed and you don't know. And you just, and of course we were at the NICU. I took off that time from work and I was there with them. So of course you don't have control of your mail at home very well. And so people getting your mail, they're just throwing it here and throwing it there. And you really have no clue what you have. And then when you get home and you have these twins that are on oxygen and, you know, require all this medical attention, you're just, there's no way that, you know, my focus was the girls and to, you know, get them healthy. And then it's just, it became so overwhelming that, you know, I didn't even know what to do. And I had this time when I was in the NICU for 6 months, just sitting there, that I could have done this. And I just didn't even think about it, you know, because that's not the first thing that you think about. You know, you're thinking about, hey, I just need to take care of these girls. So, you know, what do I need to do? You're not even thinking about the paper part of it.
Yeah. So we have a certified organizer in Alabama, Elizabeth Baker, and she is an ICU nurse. And she is a certified organizer and she's retreat trained. And she says, every single one of my ICU moms needs to start a warrior mama binder immediately. Like, she's like, everyone needs to start a warrior mama binder immediately.
Yes. No, I 100% agree. Because if I would have had that, you know, like we started in one hospital and then, you know, went to another hospital and went to another hospital. And it's like, we start the whole process over and over again. And, you know, my girls have had several issues. You know, we have cerebral palsy, they have epilepsy, and I mean, they're doing wonderful from what they were up against. But, you know, you have to recreate the whole story whenever you go from doctor to doctor to hospital to hospital. If I had that binder that I could, here you go, you know, because medical records don't transfer, you know, and not only that, but the doctors don't have time. I mean, we had, you know, they call my girls $1 billion babies because we were in that. We were in there for so long and had so many issues that, you know, there's no way a new doctor is going to be able to dig into and see everything. You know, if they had a condensed, here's what we've got, that would have been perfect.
Yes. And I know just even like my children have not been hospitalized as much, but even when we would go to new doctors, are they've been on a ton of medications, like vitamins and homeopathy and traditional medications and antibiotics and steroids and the whole gamut. And as we add each medicine to their cocktail, which is what we call it now, this cocktail, it starts to move things around. Even the doctors, they know a lot about these medications, but medications impact each body differently. I mean, I could see a place 10 years from now where our DNA will be used to determine what medicine we need.
Yes.
Yeah. So right now, in lieu of not having that information, you mom and dad, you are the DNA checker because we kind of intuitively know what's going to work with our kids. I mean, I remember taking Abby to one of the specialists at Children's Hospital and they were going to put her on a certain medication. And I said, yeah, I've researched this one and I think I want to use this one for these three reasons. And they said, well, that was the second one we were going to suggest. And they said, okay, we'll go with your recommendation just because of what I had thought through about it. I chose an older medicine we had more data on. They were choosing a newer medicine that was used off-label for what we had. And so I was like, I prefer the older one to add into this ridiculous cocktail that we're going with. And then I asked some more questions about the medication. And they said, Lisa, you ask us questions that we still have in the research phase. The way you ask us questions about medication. I'm not the only one. Every single mom and dad of kids who need to be advocated for have the same amount of research and information and intuition in their body. It's just that I'm confident enough to challenge the head of the department at Cincinnati Children's with what I think the medication should be. Yeah. I mean, who does that? I do that. And then what I'm saying is you do that too. If you're like, yeah, I was really thinking that we should have done XYZ, tell the doctor because they need you to be a partner. They don't see it. Well, they shouldn't see it as you circumventing their authority. They should see it as you advocating and thoughtfully considering and providing more information for the doctor to give you the best possible outcome in the shortest time because they don't have as much time with you as they would like.
Right. Yes. Well, and I mean, we're going through this right now. And like I said, I would have loved to have the binder because, you know, Josie's on 4 different epilepsy medicines. So we're thank goodness her epilepsy is more controlled and we're actually talking of weaning medicines. Well, you know, the doctor says, well, which one do you want to wean? And I'm like,
right. They're asking us. Well, I don't know. You put them on the medicine. You tell me.
I mean, he's been on these medicines for 5-6 years, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I can't remember when we started it. I can't, you know, my husband tells me that I have the best memory in the world, especially when it comes to that. But, you know, there's just so much that goes on that you can't remember. It has to be written down and you have to be able to find it. And that's been my issue is I haven't been able to find the information that I wanted. So my husband is 100% grateful for the, I can't even remember what the page is, where it's where you list all the medicines that they're on.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my gosh, I want to take this with me every time because my husband works evenings. I work in the days. So he's the one that has to take the girls to therapies and doctor's appointments. And he's so thankful for that, where it's all written down. He can just say, here you go.
Well, yeah, because they have weird spellings and then the dosages. And like right now, as we're recording this, Abby's in a telehealth visit with her psychiatrist and they're probably changing doses of things, which means then I have to change it in the medication tracker. I need to change it on these forms. Every time you go in anywhere, they ask you what medications you're on. For me, it's Zyrtec. For the kids, it's like, how much time do you have? Where do you want us to start?
Free. Well, let's see. Where do we go? How many where do we go?
And my kids are, you know, 19 and 20. So they're going to their doctor's appointments alone without me. And I'm like, okay, take this list. This is, they're always saying, mom, what do I take? I'm like, you take this. Yes. It has to be updated constantly.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you what, whenever I hand, you know, the stuff to the nurses, they are so thankful that it's all written down. It's all right there. Doses. I don't have to, you know, it's just, it's right in front of them. They don't, you know, they don't have to ask questions, because a lot of times I'm still fighting with the girls, you know, trying to get them to sit still, trying to get them to sit down, where, you know, it's hard for me. So having that just to hand over, she can enter that in while we're getting situated is perfect.
Yes. And some of these forms you guys can find for free right now. As soon as COVID happened, I wanted to figure out what would be the best gift, or, you know, how can I help? Like, everybody's like, how can I help, back in March? And so what we did is we made 11 pages of the medical binder available for free as a download at organize365.com/emergency. I had no idea, but 2 days later was when New York hospitals stopped letting anyone go in with people when they were admitted. And then that happened across the country a couple of days after that. I had no idea. So very quickly, these papers were the only things going into hospitals. And at the time of this recording, Cincinnati has stopped elective surgeries again at their hospitals. They're going back to those original, back in the spring of 2020, protocols inside of the hospitals to keep their staff and other patients safe. So there are no visitors again. If you're in distress, you've got to then go through your list of medications. I mean, you can do it, maybe. But it's much easier if you just hand the papers to the medical staff. They're happier. You're happier. Nothing gets lost in translation. There are a lot of medical professionals who said to me, receiving people into the ER with those papers filled out, I mean, it just makes their job so much easier. And they feel like they can start taking action on helping you feel better and get what you need, versus trying to get all of this paperwork filled out first, because they have to know, what are you allergic to? What are you on? It's going to change the course of your treatment. They can't just immediately act. They have to have that information.
Well, and that's what, you know, especially whenever you say ER, I mean, that would be huge to have, because, you know, with epilepsy, you have several, you know, emergency room visits, and, you know, you're so stressed out. You're so just focused on helping your child, you know, that you can't think straight at all, you know? And I mean, both of my girls are allergic to peanuts also, you know, and there's certain medicines that they're allergic to, that, you know, the our local hospital has record of all this, but, you know, we might be somewhere else, or, you know, so just having that you can just say, here you go. It's all on the front page. That's just wonderful. I mean, that could save a life, really.
And for the school to have it, like if they have to call the squad or whatever reason, I mean, obviously your nurse at school knows that, but when they put them on the squad, there are the papers that go with it. If you're at work and haven't gotten there. So there are so many, we don't want to think about these things. And we don't want to think about these instances happening. And I love that you said you took a week off of work before COVID happened in order to get a handle on this. I remember twice when my kids were younger, where I just took whole periods of time, a week at a time, where I was like, okay, this week I'm going to get everything ready for their Warrior Mama binders. And there was another time when I just took a week off and I was like, okay, this week I'm just going to get everything organized for my business. I'm not going to get any actionable work done. I'm taking vacation time just to organize my business so that I can be more productive going forward. I know it's not an option for everyone, but you guys might be sitting on some vacation time right now, listening to this podcast, or some of your vacation time might have rolled over. You know, take a day here or there, or take a whole week off with the goal of doing more organizing, not 100% organizing, but more organizing than you normally would. Self-care plus your organizing. I think you just feel so much better when you feel like you're on top of some of this stuff.
Oh, I do too. Yes. I mean, it's, and if I wouldn't have taken that, I probably wouldn't have made the progress that I did. You know, I had to make time where there weren't kids there that could, you know, distract you, want to help you. So, you know, I think allowing that time is critical.
So anything else you want to say about having gotten your papers organized? I know you started with the totes and totes of paper. Anything else that's happened in the last year about organizing your paper?
Well, the Sunday basket is, everybody knows about Sunday basket, told them all at work. So if the girls home, my husband, I'm like, just put it in the Sunday basket, you know. And what it's done for me is it's, you know, it is, it's my way to keep a handle on my paper. So, you know, I still have my tote, I still have to go through, get everything organized from the past, but I just thought, you know, going forward, I've, I mean, I've got at least condensed everything that I wanted to condense from the past. So my focus is, you know, I've got to move forward on this. So that the Sunday basket has been amazing, that it's been able to keep track of just like the insurance papers and the appointments. And then I put my Sunday basket right next to my calendar on the wall, so I can just write the stuff down. My husband loves it, very appreciative of it. And I couldn't get him organized because I couldn't get myself organized.
Right.
So, you know, by me doing that, that helps him a ton. Yes, definitely. I mean, just especially going forward, I wasn't necessarily missing things, but I just never felt like I was all put together. So that's kind of where it's gone for me.
That's fair. I know in my latest Sunday basket presentations, I'm trying to explain, like, what is it that the Sunday basket does? Like, how can I explain it where you would really understand? And I came across this image that Amy's made for me. And it is that the Sunday basket does not stop the flood of information that is coming into you, but it creates a levee. Like, it's the levee that holds all that water back from flooding into your house. And then you can handle it every week. Like, it holds it back like a dam. It does not change the amount of information that's coming in. It just contains it so it doesn't overwhelm you and that you have a time to process it.
Yes, no, that's perfect. That's exactly what it does. And, you know, now that we're in virtual school too, it's, you just have all this paper, like it's created more paper. And I actually have my daughter made me another Sunday basket for all their papers, you know, because it's just like
a school basket.
But yeah, it's her little school. Yeah. And she loves to get hers out whenever I get mine out. And we just kind of do it together. So it's fun.
Only one of the daughters?
Only one of them. The other one could care less.
So funny. What color is her Sunday basket?
Hers is gray. So she has a little gray basket that she calls her Sunday basket. And it's funny because she'll tell her sister, she'll say, Jenna, just go put it in my Sunday basket. You know,
it's cute. Love it.
Yes.
That's really cute.
That at work, you know, it's kind of like the Friday, whatever. But I still call it my Sunday basket at work, and it's really helped me a lot. And it's just keeps me in line here too. So
that is awesome. So you've told everybody at work, have any of them followed along and been like, okay, fine, I'll get a Sunday basket. Or they just think, oh, that's funny. That's Jamie's little thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm still convincing. They haven't quite got there yet, but I'm just like, oh, wait a minute. Let me go look in my Sunday basket and I'll get it out for you, you know? And it's funny because I think it's a surprise to them because they're like, whoa, Jamie's able to find something, because used to my desk was just piled full of stuff. So it's nice now. I can say, nope, I know where it is and I can get it out for you really quick.
So, don't you love that? Aren't you like, yeah, what else do you have?
It's like empowering.
Totally. That's the word that came to my mind as well. What do you think has happened since you started on this journey of organizing that you didn't expect to happen?
Well, my focus is better. And I've definitely didn't really think about that. I just thought, you know, I just need to make sure that I've got everything together and I know what's going on. But having that distraction out of the way has helped with my focus. And I see that more at work. And then also, I mean, it's kind of sounds funny, but it's made me more confident. So it's more like I'm able to say, yes, I know where this is, or yes, I know that this is my schedule, or yes, I know that I can find this for you real quick, you know? So like, it sounds funny, but it's made me a better person, a more well-rounded person.
You're the same person you were before. I just think that you're able to shine more and you have more confidence about who you are versus like shirking back or saying, oh, well, I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah. Because I mean, that was just kind of like always the dark cloud over my head was that you know, I just had this and I just couldn't get past it, you know? So I am very grateful for you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Is there anything else? I mean, 2020, I hate to ask, let's say other than COVID, is there anything else that you've experienced in 2020 on this journey of getting organized that you didn't really expect?
The anticipation of what I can do next. It's the...
Oh, you're looking forward to getting organized?
I know. And it's totally not me. I mean, it's not me at all, but yeah, it's just like, what can I do? What can I do next? You know, or what can I, you know, what can help me or what can help my family or, you know, so I'm excited about it. I'm a very excitable person. So just something like that just really gets me going.
think, you know, we want to get organized. And we're either born organized or we're not born organized. And you obviously thought that you were not, and that it wasn't a possibility. Then you thought, well, maybe I can. And I think, you know, you took a week off. Yeah. So I would guess maybe you thought at the end of that week you would be organized and you could check it off the list.
No.
No. Okay. Well, some people do. They're like, okay, so I figured this thing out. I'm going to knock this off in a weekend or a week or a month. And then you realize, oh, this is a never-ending journey of self-discovery and self-improvement. Like, never-ending.
Well, and that's kind of where it benefited me, because I'd listened to your podcast before. So yeah. I kind of knew what to anticipate, which was nice.
Yes, right, right. So it's good to listen and know where you're going. Yes. But I do think that not everybody finds organized. Obviously, if you're finding an organizing podcast, you have some interest in getting organized. But I think it surprises people how much they really enjoy the act of organizing and finding more ways of getting more organized in the future. I think most people think, okay, so I'm organized. Organizing is a thing. I can get more organized with Organize 365. But I think that it catches people off guard when they actually fall in love with the act of organizing and being organized.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with that, because it's kind of like an addiction. in that, you know, it's like, oh, what can I do next? You know, and again, that is totally not me. Last year at this time, no way would I have thought that. So definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So you have more confidence. What do you have less of?
Paper. I think maybe I have less the dread kind of. Or the fear of, am I forgetting something? Am I, you know, and so I definitely have less of that.
Isn't that such a great feeling to not feel like you're always forgetting something? Like, I always felt like I think there's something else I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Or whenever you're making a new commitment, I have a, you know, now I can know, hey, I can do that date, or I can do this, you know, because I've got it on my calendar, or I've got it, you know, on my phone where I know where it is. So yeah, just definitely that is a big part of it. And then of course, with the virtual school, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you got to be on this time and this time and this time. So yeah, that's definitely helped a ton with that.
Is there anything you wish you had known sooner?
That it's not hard. To me, it was just like this. I mean, again, it was fear. It was fear that I couldn't do it, or, you know, that I would fail. I want to do things. I mean, I'm not necessarily a perfectionist, but I want to do things and I want to do it to the full extent. So I felt like if I'd get started, that I wouldn't be able to achieve anything. So I think that if I would have just known that, hey, you can do this, it's not going to happen overnight, that would have been a big help for me.
I've never heard anybody before say it was not hard. So what do you mean it was not hard?
It just happened. I don't know how to
explain. Once you got started, you were able to just like keep taking the next step, and it wasn't like, oh, I have to do that thing, or.
Well, I mean, I felt like I mentally prepared myself to start out with. Mm-hmm. So I think that helped. And I didn't try to set myself up for failure. I tried to say, hey, I'm going to start here and see where I can go with it. I didn't try to just throw myself into it and just say, I'm going to, you know, organize my whole house and I'm going to organize all my papers. And I think just take, you know, dipping your toe in the water and starting with the paper part was a big part for me. And by getting that part done, or getting a big chunk of it where at least I could notice a difference, that just keeps me motivated to want to do more.
Yes. You can see the progress you've made.
Yes.
And you have to get rid of a lot of paper to see the progress you've made in paper. It's not as easy. Like, it's easier to see the progress that you make in your closet or in your kitchen. So you kind of did it the hard way by starting with your paper.
But the paper was the part that affected me the most. So I know that if I start with that and I could see a difference, then that would motivate me to want to do more. I like to do the hard stuff first. I want to get that part over with.
Oh my gosh. So organizing a house is going to be your like reward?
Yeah, no problem.
So what's your next step then? What are you going to do 2021? What's your organizing goal?
So of course, you know, with my girls, with their issues that they have, I do want to perfect an IEP binder, because that I've never done that. I keep the papers, but what I do with them, I don't know. And then somebody will say, let me see a copy of your last IEP. And I'm like, let me go see if I can find it, you know? So that I definitely want to do. And I do, I want to get started on more in my house. So, you know, more of, and unfortunately the girls just grow like crazy. So with their closet and their stuff is, and I want them to be a part of it too. And they, I mean, they want to be a part of it. So I think that's my next step.
And you're in a nice little window here, like between 10 and 12, 5 and 10 for an early childhood. We studied psychology in early childhood. 5 and 10 are called golden years. That's like kids are just really easy when they are 5 and when they are 10. So it's a really nice year. But also to go ahead and take the time and get these binders really the way you want them to be, to the level of excellence you want them to be at when they're 10 and 11, will help you so much when they're 12, 13, and 14. Because it, from an educational standpoint, the medical, I'm not sure about, but from an educational standpoint, as they go into sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, you have those transitions into middle school, then the transitions into high school. Different academic things can be applied to help them at school. They also start to gain some of that independence and they want to have some of these forms for themselves. So when they make those transitions at 12, and again at 14, 15, especially when the hormones start kicking in, you're going to see symptoms sometimes, at least I did in my kids. You're going to see different symptoms and behaviors that you saw in the past. And you're going to want to go back in the past and see what helped then, because it'll help again in the future. Or you could say to a therapist or a specialist or school or doctor, hey, this happened 4 years ago and here's what we did. And they can use that as a baseline of what they're going to jump up on. So this is a perfect time to just take the time out and do that. Because once you start hitting 12, like life is just going to speed up from 12 to 18. There's just so much that happens in a child's life that this 6 to 12-year-old age range when they are in grade school is like the perfect time to get all of this stuff organized and go from the baby years to the school years. And then you have the middle school, high school. So you're going to be so happy in 2022 when you have all this done and and life starts speeding up again.
Yeah. I wish I would have started earlier, but to me it's better late than never. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. You're going to be really happy. So your podcast is going to come out right at the beginning of 2021, at the end of 2020. There are a lot of people that are deciding what their New Year's resolution is going to be, what their organizing goal is going to be for 2021, what they're going to do in quarter one of 2021. If someone's decided to start the Sunday Basket or the 100-day program, or they're like, you know what, I do have more paper than I realized and I'm going to tackle it, what advice would you give to them?
Do it. Just get started. And that's what my problem was, is I just never did it. I mean, you just do it and don't expect wonderful, grand, great things right at first. It's like you said, it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. But, you know, if you can do little things that you notice, to me, that's the motivation to keep going and to keep doing it. And if you look back December of 2021 of where you came from in January, you're going to see huge gains, huge gains.
Jamie, thank you so much for sharing your story. I know it's going to mean a lot to everyone who hears it, but also for parents of twins. You're like, oh, somebody else with twins. Hearing about those school years, middle school years that I talked about, talking about what kinds of stuff you save in a Warrior Mama binder. A Warrior Mama binder is empowering, but it also can be daunting to set it up because, like, well, if I'm going to create a binder, then I need to go back through all the notes and all the thoughts. And it is a big undertaking, but it's one of the best things I ever did for my kids. And it made the rest of my parenting after I made the Warrior Mama binder that much easier because I was able to be present and talk to whoever I was with, a therapist, a teacher, a medical professional, and pull out documentation as we were having a conversation versus listening, researching later and wishing I would have said XYZ when I was in the meetings. Just made me a much more proactive parent.
Well, and I think if they see your confidence, then that makes more, I mean, not that they're taking advantage of anybody, but if they see your confidence, then that makes, you know, want to be more involved too.
That is for sure. I would say that's for sure in the education, not as much medical, but for sure in education. The more you know, the more you get in education. Unfortunately, just the way it is right now. So thank you so much, Jamie, for being on podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.